Yeah, it is a Halloween weekend, Al. How about that? You got your little witch costume ready to go? You're going to be a ghost, Batman?
Man, such a good question. I was at Party City yesterday till close to 11 p.m. And you know when you just can't decide which costume to get? You know what I'm talking about here, right?
Sure.
So you end
so
up buying
good choices.
You end up buying four or five different ones. So then you could get home, you could try everything on. So I'm still in flux right now. I'm still trying to figure it out.
So did you get a cap? I'm gonna guess Captain America.
You got that one.
The back end of a two-person horse costume that you
exactly.
And Lady Slee are going as the horse.
We talked about that yesterday, right? How much we love that
maybe
one.
Maybe you're going to throw everybody off of it, maybe do like a Wonder Woman, just kind of, you know, a gender-bending kind of thing.
Sure.
And then maybe, I don't know, Shrek.
You called all four of them. You went 4-4-4 on that.
There you go. I know we both have things to do on Sunday, that Halloween is coming up on Sunday. You got a Laker game. I've got a Rams game. I can at least kind of do a little back end of the Halloween.
What time's your Rams game?
Pre-game show starts at 8 a.m. The post-game show starts immediately following the Rams game. And then whenever that ends, I'm home about an hour later. So it should be good.
So that's not a bad schedule. Which would you rather have? I think I already know the answer to this. You'd rather kind of get it out the gate, get it over with. You're done. You're home by like 3, 4 p.m., something like
always
that.
Early start is always better. Always, always, always better.
Well, so Lakers.
You've got the late start.
No, very similar. Lakers are in the midst of 6, 7:30 starts. I thought we were done with the 7:30 starts.
Why not make it 8? Just nice and round. Just nice round number. Make it 8 o'clock so everybody knows.
Listen, if any of these games are nationally televised, it will be 8 because they're going to be waiting for the other game to finish on ESPN or TNT.
Yeah, why not? ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and we want you to participate as always. You can be a part of the show on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper. The one fans deserve. So you get another Laker game tonight, and it sounds so weird, Al, to talk about the sixth game of the season against a Cleveland Cavaliers team that's better than I think people probably might have imagined, that it feels like they have a real star in Evan Mobley that they were able to draft last year. But all of a sudden, this game takes on all sorts of important angles for the Lakers, considering what the first five games have looked like, and in particular, what happened a couple of nights ago in OKC.
Trevor, are you ready for a Los Angeles Lakers winning streak?
Are you pitching one?
Are you ready for a Los Angeles Lakers winning streak? Because you and I spent a lot of time yesterday being very critical about the Los Angeles Lakers, as we should. Most Laker fans were, you know, incredibly disappointed with a 26-point meltdown that they had. And even they had the entire fourth quarter to get back on track. They couldn't do it. The Lakers have started off the season 2-3. They haven't looked good. You know, you and I have spent a little time on this where it's not like you've kind of sat back and said, that's a really good half of basketball right there.
That right there, that looked good. More of that, please. That hasn't happened yet.
That hasn't happened. I mean, you could even say, okay, maybe in that first half against it's Oklahoma City Thunder. All right, so the dust settles. Lakers are sitting 2-3. Everybody has been kind of all over the Lakers over the last couple of days, as they should be. This is why they're going to go on a winning streak.
Okay.
Part of it just has the mere fact to do with the teams that they're going to play are really, really bad. Okay? Mm-hmm. Cleveland,
so
like
Oklahoma
you said.
City.
So was Oklahoma City. Just,
just
here's the thing.
That out
no,
there.
No. Here's the thing. When I'm in the middle of my presentation, I will take questions and comments at the end of the presentation, okay? So this is our go-to is the timeshare. The go-to is when we're selling a timeshare, right?
Hold your questions until
hold your
end.
Questions till the end.
I apologize.
Because part of also the strategy of the timeshare is you forget your question. That's also the hope is that whatever concerns you had, I'm done with the pitch.
By the time I remember the question, hey, this sounds like a lot more expensive than just a normal vacation, I've forgotten that by that point. Yes,
Let me get to, you know, the photos and everything
parking.
Else first.
Let me tell you where you can park your RV. Let me just throw this in there and beach access. Have I covered beach access yet?
Well, we don't have any, but we're next to a timeshare who does have beach access. Okay, so with all that being said, Cleveland will be the toughest one of this group. And that's tonight's game. It's actually kind of funny. We're looking at the schedule, Michael and I, and John said, Cleveland's a lot better than you think. And I'm like, sure. Are they? And I kind of, this was early on. This was maybe a couple games, maybe two games in or something like that. And I'm like, all right, well, let's keep an eye on Cleveland. Okay, what the hell are they doing? They've won three games in a row, blah, blah, blah. This is the winning streak. It's Cleveland, it's two against Houston, and it's the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's a four-game winning streak. That's not impressive because it's those teams and you're playing at Staples Center. But I think it's almost in a weird way. Am I crazy to say this? It's imperative that the Lakers have a four-game winning streak against these teams?
I don't know if they have to have a four-game winning streak because of what I...
Well, who are they going to lose against? If they lose against Cleveland, you're going to pull whatever hair you have on your head out.
You're right, but hey, look, they lost to Oklahoma City, so anything's in play at this point. You know, they're playing Oklahoma City again. They should probably win that game. They should probably beat Houston both times. They should probably beat Cleveland tonight, but you've seen what they've looked like through the first five. Yeah. I'm not guaranteeing anything. And look, I'm not going to go as far as to say that tonight's game against the Cavs is a must-win. When it's game six out of 82, I think that that's just...
That's awesome. That's like literally the second game in Major League Baseball.
It seems like it's a step too far. But it is important. Mm-hmm. I think tonight is important for all of the reasons that we've talked about. Namely, I would like to see a quarter, a half, you know, in an ideal world, an entire game of, oh... There it is. That's what we've been. That's how Russell Westbrook fits in. That's how Anthony Davis can play. There's LeBron James taking over games. There's Malik Monk knocking down shots. And there's Carmelo coming in and waiting for open looks and knocking those down. And Dwight's blocking some shots and creating trouble in the middle. And all of the pieces that we've been talking about kind of all show up. And that would be really good because we still haven't seen it, like you said. But as far as a winning streak, I don't know, man. San Antonio's not a good team. Oklahoma City wasn't a good team, and you know, both of those games were down to the wire, and they split them. So I don't know what this is going to – you're right, Cleveland's not – you know, they're not great, but they're not lousy. I think that tonight, as weird as it sounds, is a game that really kind of matters. If they – because here's the flip side.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lakers lose this game tonight, just close your eyes and imagine what that's going to feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if all of a sudden the Lakers barely beat San Antonio. They lose to OKC. They come home and lose to a team in Cleveland that's in the middle of a rebuild. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you're 2-4, and you're feeling a certain way about this group. And it's not just that you're 2-4. It's 2-4 with six games that maybe other than the Suns game, it felt like you should have won them all. And all of a sudden, you're just nowhere. I think that to just put that to bed for at least a couple of nights and to get to where you're talking about, to where, all right, you beat Cleveland, you beat Houston, you beat Houston again, you beat Oklahoma City. Now, all of a sudden, what happened in Oklahoma City just felt like a bad dream, and you can start getting ready for what's coming up next. But if the opposite happens, what are we talking about?
So I should not give them the benefit of the doubt because they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. One of the reasons why I was saying I'm glad they lost on Wednesday – right? When I say they lost to the Thunder, which was really weird because I'm doing the post-game show and I'm like, you know what? No, they deserve to lose. I'm actually, I hate sometimes, it's going to happen in an 82-game grind. It's going to, you're just going to have a game where it's like, all right, well, forget about that one. Lakers looked awful in this. It happens to every single team. I don't care if you're the 96 Chicago Bulls. I don't care if you're in the heart of the Showtime era or you're the Steph Curry or Steph and Clay and Kevin Durant. You're going to have bad games. The reason why I think that loss on Wednesday helps them, Trav, there's no game they can walk into and say, oh, this is a lock, at least to this point of the season, right? Like, to just in this small little sample size, they don't have the luxury of kicking back and saying, no, we're good enough to just show up and we're going to win. And maybe there is something to, who was it? I think it was Jay Williams yesterday. We played something about there are a lot of younger teams out there. They don't really care. You know, it's like, okay, hey, the Lakers have a good team. There are a lot of veterans on this team. We're just going to go out there. The game of basketball has changed so drastically that Michael always says that the game is not complicated anymore. It used to be complicated. Now it's run the freaking ball as fast as you can up and down. You know, you're playing the strategy of take as many shots as you can within a shot clock. You're firing up as many threes as you possibly can. But I just say all that because if you're not cautious coming into tonight's game because of what just happened so far through the first five games and that loss against the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think this Lakers team is too talented. Too many vets, too smart to obviously let a game like tonight, because the way you described it, how important it is, I think they're going to kind of feel the same way, that this is not a game that, you know, you could just walk into like maybe we thought we could approach some of these others on the schedule.
Yeah, I'm curious what Laker fans think about it, how important tonight's game is, because, again, I keep coming back to it's the sixth game, but here's what I'm looking for, and I think this is the thing that concerned me the most about what happened in Oklahoma City last night or two nights ago, and this is what I'm waiting to see tonight. I said this to you yesterday. It wasn't just that the Lakers lost. It wasn't just that the Lakers blew a big lead. Those things were bad in and of themselves. But it was their inability to respond to that adversity.
Yeah.
It was their inability to say, hey, look, guys, we're on the verge of blowing it. And it wasn't like they blew a 26-point lead and all of a sudden Oklahoma City just ran away and hid. The game was a possession game down in the last 10 seconds or
whole
so.
The whole fourth quarter,
yes.
It was a couple possessions. So they
Absolutely.
Had plenty of time
plenty
to let
time
the dust settle.
To just say, okay, look, we've nearly tricked this whole thing off. Let's calm down. Anthony Davis, go down there and kill these guys and end this thing. And let's just get out of here and we'll fix all the problems that made us blow a 26-point lead in the first place. They couldn't. They couldn't stop the bleeding. They couldn't get to the point where they could get stops against Lu Dort. They couldn't get to the spot where they were able to stop a team that is expected to win 15 games, 20 games top. They couldn't stop the bleeding. That was the part that was really concerning to me, which brings us to what's going to happen tonight at Staples Center against the Cavs, which is, can you respond? Did a day of thinking about what happened, did a day, you know, shaking it off, get a sweat on, get started. You know, one thing that the professional athlete, I think, is much better at than Travis Rogers or Alan Slew or anybody that's listening to us right now, they can compartmentalize better than we can. They're very quickly, they can flush something, good or bad, and move on to the next thing. The whole, you know, we're only worried about the one game at a time. It's a cliche, but I think it's true for these guys. They're really good at it. But they need to come out tonight and respond and show that what happened in Oklahoma City was just the weirdest confluence of events. It's the one out of 25 years where something like this happens. We are a good team. We do fit well together. We can get stops. We can make shots. We can close the show. All of these things, because if they don't, whoa. Now what?
Okay, let's say they don't.
For it if it happens
tonight. Let's say they don't. How do you kind of, because I think the way you just set it up, and it's not even justifying the Oklahoma City game. I think it's justifying every game you've played so far this year. I really believe that. I think you're not trying to change the narrative based off of the 26-point, you know, lead that you gave up. I think it's also trying to the San Antonio Spurs games in overtime. Memphis, it's a one possession game at the end. Ja Morant misses a free throw. By the way, dropped 40 and 10 on you. You got no answer for
Turns
him.
Turns out he's okay.
Yeah, he's not bad. It was Phoenix at one point at Staples Center up 32, and I'm looking around at Staples Center like, what the hell is going on? As is every other Laker fan that's in the arena. It's collapsing in the fourth quarter against the Golden State Warriors. It's not paying attention to all six preseason games where you literally approach every one of those games like, hey, we're just going to wait till the regular season. When I hear you say that it's kind of, hey, let us show you that what happened on Wednesday is a small sample. That's not who we are.
The one in a million hit. That's all it was.
But I think it's also saying what we've shown you, the product we've shown you since training camp has started, that's not us. We're going to start changing that narrative today. That's on their back right now.
I think I've been pretty consistent about saying, look, let's give this some time. I'm not going to judge after a game or five games or maybe
You said
ten.
Seven games in. You said seven games. If it's not perfect basketball, we have an issue.
Exactly right. But here's the – if yep. LeBron plays tonight and it kind of looks like it's looked so far and they lose, I think that for the first time we can have a real conversation about, hey, what the heck's going on? Not just – let's give it a little. I think for the first time, if they lose the game tonight with LeBron,
with
LBJ,
LeBron
doesn't play
yep.
again, I think you can still kind of say, hold on, their best player still isn't on the court. Everybody take a deep breath. But if LeBron plays and it looks – look, let's say they win by 4 points. Let's say it's a dogfight down to the wire and LeBron plays and plays well. And the Lakers – I keep going back to the game where they played well and with LeBron against Memphis and still had to have a missed free throw at the end to win the game.
Sure.
What it looks like matters almost as much as the result. The result's more important, but it's close because if they look like a team that's still kind of nowhere after these six games – I think with LeBron James, now we're having a conversation that's more than just, hey, there's some time. It's not jump up and down on the panic button with both feet, but it's, hey, let's at least clear the debris around the panic button so we can hit it a little more easily. Hmm. We're getting closer to it.
Well, I'm going to read, and this is just the injury report Lakers had. This came out yesterday, so it said LeBron, Rajon Rondo, questionable. Ellington's on that list as well, and then Anthony Davis probable. So we'll see if he ends up going. One quick note here on the Cavs, Trav. You know, they lost their first two games. Okay, they lost to Memphis, they lost to Charlotte, which both teams having a really, really good start to the season.
Yep.
They beat Atlanta, they beat good Denver team. At Denver. They beat the Clippers here at Staples Center. So they're on a little three-game winning streak, 3-2. And a couple of those wins, I think the Atlanta-Denver, you got to feel good if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers winning those two games.
All right, something very, very important and something that we're still talking about today happened 18 years ago today. We'll tell you what it is next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, I got a lot of questions about that.
Okay.
I was when I heard Mason was going to take down 16 peanut butter cups.
I did not know this, by the way. Did this happen yesterday?
I don't know. But my first was, are we talking about the ones that are like the size of a marble or like the ones you get at the gas station that are the size of, you know, they're like a silver dollar almost?
Either way, that's way too many.
Right?
Yeah, that's way too many.
16 of the little ones, you have to eat them until you literally, I just can't eat another bite. How many do you get through? Six?
Yeah, the problem is I could do much better savory than I can sweet. So, like,
two?
That's not – no, if I'm asked, like, five, six?
Yeah.
That's probably the right amount.
Tops. That is a lot of sugar. That's a lot of peanut butter. And that's a lot of non-dark chocolate along the way. All right. So here's another question that Chris just brought up right there. It's Halloween weekend. People are going out. They're having a good time. And Halloween, which used to be almost the primary territory of – school-age kids, right? You get to put on your Batman costume, you go out in a little orange plastic pumpkin and trick-or-treat, and you drop a few Tootsie Rolls. Now this is an excuse for adults to go out and get turned up. Everybody goes out and has a good time. And,
colleges, bro, back in the day, and I'm sure, too, up in Santa Barbara. San Diego State, you thought it was like it was a week and a half holiday. I'm like, guys, literally Halloween. We're closer to Thanksgiving now than we are to Halloween. Let's let it go.
Halloween.
There you go. No, Santa Barbara had a legendary Hollywood scene that has since been canceled because too many people fell off the cliff. So they decided that really wasn't a very good look for the campus. So
that's probably not a good idea.
Rules along the way. But do you go out on Saturday night because you don't have to go to work on Sunday, or do you just hit it really hard on Sunday and stumble into work with a hangover on Monday?
Let me give an example here. Emily, you happen to be in a specific predicament because Sunday you do the Rams game, right? You're going to be here with Travis. Okay, you guys are going to be doing the game. Like you said, Trav, pregame starts at 8 a.m., right? Mm-hmm. A little cup of coffee, a little Travis Rogers, Kirk Morrison, get you ready for the Rams game.
Yes, sir.
So Emily then now finds herself, out of all the games that, you know, that are going to be nationally televised with the Rams, out of all the games that are just regular 1 o'clocks, this is the day that it's going to be the early start.
We'll go early.
Emily, what do you do Saturday night? Does it affect what you do Saturday night?
I mean, of course, I'm still going to have a good time. I'm 25. My friends and I, they texted me. They're like, okay, we're going to do this bar crawl. And I'm like, again, I'm planning to be at the station at probably 6:30 in the morning on Sunday to get stuff ready for the Rams pregame. And I'm just like, this is going to be not a fun one. But I'm like, you know, heck, I have to do it. I have to go out because
the good thing
otherwise
is,
I'm going to be lame. I'm going to be sitting at home being just like just because of sleep. You know, I don't want to do it just because I can't sleep, you know?
The good thing is when the game is done and you're done with the post-game show and all that stuff, you kind of got the rest of the day just kind of, you know, relax. But
I will nap for like 5 hours. That's probably what's going to happen.
Emily, you buried the lead here a little bit. You mentioned it, but you didn't spend enough time explaining why you can pull this off, which would put me into a coffin. Mm-hmm. She's 25 years old. Mm-hmm. She's going to be able to bounce back and be okay. She'll have a headache and
I'll be tired.
Tired, right? Maybe just
a yeah. But a couple hours after you're up, you forget about all that. At age 25, right. You're like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, now the engine's on.
By the time Kirk and I are handing it off to JB and yep. DeMarco and Mo, she's going to be thinking about going out again that night. She's going to be like, you know what? It's actually Halloween night. Let's go do it all over again. That's what being 25 is. I'd be thinking about, okay, I can take Monday off, Tuesday off, Thursday off. I can just really try to get to next weekend, and I can recuperate. A hangover for me now lasts a week. They're just not worth it anymore.
This is what it comes down to. What'd you drink? Did you mix? When did you stop drinking? How much
That's
did you drink?
We already know that I'm not afraid of mixing everything. So.
Yeah, she's it's a buffet of alcohol. So that being said, I think Funches and I are in a similar position as well, because right now I'm on – it's very similar to sports injuries. You know, somebody's out 4 to 6 weeks. That's kind of my hangovers now. My hangovers fall along the line of injuries. Slee was out for 5 to 7 days because he had – 3 bourbons. That's all it probably takes at this point.
I want Halloween strategy from our listeners. 877-710-ESPN. How do you muscle through it the next day? Are we talking?
They don't have to work on Sunday.
Some people do, right?
That's true.
And some people like to go out on a Wednesday, and they got work on a Thursday. So hit me up with your day after big party day strategies. I'm curious if any of them could be implemented into us. Right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 18 years ago, Slee.
Yep.
2003, October 29th, LeBron James made his NBA debut. Mm-hmm. 18 years ago today. And Carmelo Anthony, by the way. Both of them made their debuts today, and they're both still in the league. They're both on the same team for the first time ever in the NBA. And LeBron James is still on the short list of best players in the league. I don't know. You know, obviously, this year is weird because he's missed a couple of games. Lakers are off to a bad start. But 19 seasons in, or 18 seasons in, starting his 19th season, we're still talking about a guy who came in with perhaps the most unrealistic expectations that anybody has ever come in with. Hmm. And he surpassed every last one of them. It's not that, oh, he met him. I don't care how good you thought LeBron James was 18 years ago today. You weren't thinking he's going to have 4 championships, multiple MVPs. He's going to be the best player in the league for 15 years, give or take, one way or the other. His teams are always going to be competitive. He's going to end up as the all-time leading scorer in this league. Everything that you thought might be possible, he surpassed.
So this is what I think what makes LeBron most interesting. One of the more interesting athletes to ever play the game. And part of it has to do with what you just said, Trav. I remember ESPN carrying his high school games, right? And this is no shock or surprise. You would see, okay, the hype was already there. He was on the front cover of magazines. I think it was Slam Magazine that he was on the front cover of. I was going to say, I think Sports Illustrated as well.
Yeah.
He's on the cover. You knew LeBron James before he got to the NBA. Gets picked number one, Cleveland Cavaliers. Bro, I'm not kidding when I tell you this. I remember exactly his first game, Sacramento Kings. And if you go, you know, on Twitter right now, there's a lot of reminders. Hey, this is LeBron James in his first game. Ended up putting up 25 points against the Sacramento Kings. It was you knew you were going to watch somebody that was going to be great. But this is the thing that I think I find fascinating about him. Trav, he's had so many different chapters in the NBA. If I tell you, you know, one of the unique things about Kobe Bryant is he only played with one organization. That's very, very unique, right?
Very rare. Very rare.
I know Shaq jumped around and he went to different teams and this and that. It was six teams I think he ended up on. LeBron's journey, he did something. By the time he started his career, there's the business side of it. There's how do I control my own future? He was doing things that other athletes, I think, kind of followed those footsteps on. You have relied on organizations to help you win championships. And LeBron was one of those players. It's like, I cannot rely on the Cleveland Cavaliers to win a championship. He reached stages in his career where he's taking things into his own hands. And the fact that, I think you mentioned this earlier, he has 4 championships. He has 3 finals MVPs on 3 different teams.
Only guy ever to have done that.
16 years, or going into his 16th season in his career, he decided, I'm going to go join the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, how random is that one, right? Where, you know, maybe there was a little rumor conversations that could happen. Not only did it happen, Lakers have been competitive since and they won an NBA championship. Go prior to that, his time in Cleveland when he left and everyone just – and I'm with him. You know, when LeBron left the Cavaliers and went to Miami, I could not tell you how much I hated it and how much I wanted him and the Miami Heat to lose. And then I'm rooting for him like, you know, he's the greatest player ever. When he goes back to Cleveland, he's facing the Golden State Warriors. He just had such an interesting career when the dust settles.
Here's what I want to do, and I want to take some phone calls on this too. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. There are so many moments in LeBron James's career, and they're still going, by the way. This is not like a retrospective. He's still in the league and playing at an incredibly high level, hopefully, by the time that he gets back. But what is your favorite LeBron moment? Or maybe it's the most memorable moment along the way, because we've mentioned some of them. We talked about coming in. We talked about him dragging a really lousy Cleveland team to the finals his first time, about the decision, about going to Miami, about going back to Cleveland, about winning that championship down 3-1 against a team that had won 73 games, about coming to Los Angeles, about being the guy that kind of was the match that started the whole player empowerment movement. There are so many, about starting your own company, about becoming a mogul in the entertainment industry. There are just so many different layers to LeBron that saying, oh, he came in as a child prodigy and lived up to the hype, that barely
tells nothing of the story.
None of it. That child prodigy made good is a really good story. Yeah. And that's about 2% of the LeBron James story. Lots more LeBron. Your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN. That's next on Travis Lee, 710-ESPN. You know what else we'll be doing Monday, Al? We'll be talking about the 7-1 on top of the NFC standing Los Angeles Rams. What happened last
technically
night?
Technically not on top of the NFC standings.
Yes, I know what you're going to say, but yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. They play them again. Therefore, the game in hand doesn't mean anything. So they play them again. If they didn't play them again, then Arizona would be ahead of them. But
they're going to be in second place because Arizona currently has that one win.
They're in second place in the division, you're right, but they're tied for the lead overall because they get to play them again. If they lose that, now you're de facto two back. But right now that half game is kind of meaningless at this point.
You know what I'm doing right now during your presentation? I'm walking out in the middle of it. I already left, and I'm now really interested
in the timeshare
next to yours.
Another round of golf. You sit back down, you get another round of golf, and your wife gets to go to the spa.
How funny was that? No, questions till later. Questions. Nope, we're not taking questions. Please grab the microphone from me.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony made their NBA debuts 18 years ago today, back in 2003. And we're talking about some of the most memorable LeBron moments. We opened it up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's go to Laguna Beach first. And David, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, I'm a huge Laker fan, but 18 years ago, I was living in Sacramento. A friend I played college ball with, Wayne Cooper, was the assistant general manager, and I knew it was going to be LeBron's first game. And so he got me two tickets, and I took my son, Joshua, when he was 10 years old, and I said, Josh, this guy could be one of the greatest players in NBA history. I said, you're going to tell your grandkids about this. And we got to go to the game and saw LeBron play. I still remember him stealing a pass near midcourt. The guy threw it, and he just took off and big old dunk, and he scored 25 points, like Al said. And it just was an incredible memory. He's 28 years old now, and he still talks about it.
I was just going to say, David, you say, you know, he's 10 years old at the time, and fast forward, and now you have nearly a 30-year-old son. Time goes by pretty quickly, unless you're LeBron James, I guess.
How about that? He gets to see LeBron and Turkoglu in the same game. I mean, just
good old Hidu.
Just amazing. What a Doug Christie. What an evening.
You're not doing better than Hidu. Hidu Turkoglu is awesome.
Can I say this, too, that first of all, that's a cool story. And I want to, you know, sometimes this is what happens, Trav. People will say, oh, you know what, you're not critical enough on LeBron. Or people will say, oh, here we are again, just putting LeBron on a pedestal. He is one of the greatest to ever do it. And that's just the bottom line. So I think, you know, when we spend a quick second here and saying this today was his first night. And by the way, during the Lakers game tonight, I'm sure Coach is going to be asked that question. LBJ will be asked post game. This conversation is going to come up. It is a unique unique story in the league. You know, there's other branches to this as well. It's, did LeBron do something when he went to Miami? Again, I hated it. I wanted them. All of a sudden, I became, you know how I am with the Clippers? I kind of became that with the Miami Heat, right?
Okay.
But he became, you know, this such a polarizing figure. He always was, but he went from everybody is cheering for him to literally, remember that game he went back to Cleveland?
Sure.
The first game back to Cleveland.
The first game of the season, yeah.
He goes back to Cleveland, all the signs that are there, you know, Nike, remember that iconic sign outside of their building? They take that down. It's just, you kind of go through, you really have to take a quick second to think of some of the ups and the downs and so forth, and then ends up back in Cleveland. It's fascinating.
There is no right answer to your favorite LeBron memory because there are so many of them, and he's still creating more of them. But for me, and yeah, you can think of the block in the finals against the Warriors, which I think for a lot of people is probably what you think of, but I'm not even talking about the block. I'm talking about that series. He led the series in everything. Pick something. It doesn't matter what you pick. Rebounds, LeBron had the most. Blocks, LeBron had the most. Points, assists, minutes, LeBron had the most of everything. The team on the other side of the floor, they'd won 73 games. And he led the series in everything. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And, oh, by the way, they came back from a 3-1 deficit. And he had an iconic moment with the block. They're just – when I think of LeBron, that's the version of LeBron that I think of.
No, no question about it. It was one of the – and this was the Cleveland piece that ran into this as well. When's the last time Cleveland has won a championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's from Akron. He's from the area. And it had been 50-plus years since they had won a professional championship. That's the one for me. That for LBJ, it was the moment they beat the Golden State Warriors. They had to do it on the road. Kyrie hitting that shot. Steph, a couple of turnovers. And that's kind of just how it all played out. But that to me was one of the – not just one of the coolest moments for LeBron. It was one of the coolest moments I've watched in sports because all these things that we talked about, that was a part of it.
Let's not sleep on J.R. Smith coming off the airplane shirtless. That was a high-level moment as well. One more quick one. Let's try Venice in Ryan. Ryan, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I think the best moment for me was 2012 Eastern Conference Finals Game 6. LeBron is down 3-2 to the Boston Celtics, and this guy, that's where the meme with LeBron and his hands on his knees, and, you know, he's got the headband on, looking up at the scoreboard. He looks like a robot. He's like, looks angry. He comes out, he drops 45 and 15, and just, the man is just playing angry. And it was just a sight to see. That was easily my favorite LeBron moment because of what was at stake, right? Like, the previous year, they lost to the Mavericks. So if they, you know, you form up this Heat super team and he's on the brink of losing 2 years in a row and not making it to the finals the second year. So, I mean, it was easily the best moment LeBron had to me.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate that. That's the thing. I'll be honest. When he mentioned that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But I had not remembered it until he mentioned it, and it's a great moment. That's the crazy thing about this dude's career. Never mind that we're talking about one of the greatest ever. That if you don't think so, you can pick Wilt, you can pick Kareem, you can pick Michael. That's fine. You're not wrong, but you can't exclude him. You can't say he's not in that group. Otherwise, I'm just dismissing you out of hand. And it's just one of, I don't know, dozens of moments, Lee, where you say, oh, yeah, I remember that.
LeBron, quit screwing around. Just get Lakers the 18th. Stop screwing around.
Well,
this 18th championship.
Yeah, that may
enough
be the biggest
enough.
Ask of his entire career. We'll see it tonight against the old team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's finally here. Our last Ask Slee of the week.
Bunches is coming up next.
Nope. Ask Slee. And by the way, Al, they're pretty good. That's next. Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. They've outdone themselves today, Al. There are a whole bunch of good ones. Yep, they always do a good job.
You know what you should do? You should, before each one, you should like rank. Hey, this is give them a grade or something. Today's a B. Today, you know what? Today they came hard. They went. It's an A-. You know what? Today they sucked. They're a D.
I'll give them a B+ today. It's good.
B+.
It's good. It's not the best I've seen, so it doesn't get an A, but it's good. Let's start right here. This is from Big E, and he asks, does Slee have any street cred? Hashtag Slee. So you got street cred, Al?
Street cred.
Yeah.
Define street cred.
You get to define it in any way you'd like. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I'm knocking it right back at you. Whatever you think it is.
I would think so. I would think there's I would assume street cred would mean people respect you, or they respect what you do, or they respect who you are, or something along those lines. I don't like answering that question myself. I would prefer somebody else to answer that.
The answer is no. Neither one of us have any street cred. That's not
wait.
That's not our lane.
No. I think we're defining street cred completely different.
I think you have credibility. I think that you are a credible
human. Do you think street cred is like you walk outside and
a little flavor,
you bumping people with you're bumping people with their shoulders into their shoulder, and you're walking into a bar and you're saying, "Hey, where the ladies at?" Like I don't understand what your definition of street cred is.
It's not a violence thing. It's not a physical intimidation thing. It's just oh, dude, look at that guy's got it going on. That guy's just kind of putting it out in the universe.
If that's your definition, no.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to.
Okay. All right.
Jacob in the OC says, what are the unwritten rules of where you work?
On street cred, okay? What are what? What are these?
What are the unwritten rules of where you work? Hashtag Ask Slee. Do we have any unwritten rules at 710?
I got a couple. In the studio.
Say again?
In the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clean off when you're done with your show. Clean up the place a little bit.
It's a good tip.
You know what I mean?
Look, this is fifth grade kindergarten stuff, right? This is our 5-year-old kindergarten stuff. Leave it better than
much.
You found it. Leave
not
it better than
much.
You found it.
If it's I don't clean, need to see crumbs on the desk. I just see something on the microphone. I don't need to see any of that. Let's just clean up after we left.
Here's one of the unwritten rules that I would like to put down.
I got another unwritten rule. Go ahead. Yep.
As a written rule, I would like this to be a law at ESPN, not even a suggestion, but rather termination upon violation of this rule. Mm-hmm. Take your windscreen with you off the mic, people. I really don't want to have to touch your windscreen when you're done. I put mine on every morning. I take mine off every day. Can you just please take yours with you? Because now I got to go into the kitchen. I got to get a whole pan full of paper towels and just barely touch that thing. Come on. I know we're all
friends. I got another one. I got another unwritten rule. Bro, if it's not yours in the refrigerator, leave it alone. Just don't take it, okay?
That sparkling water situation really traumatized you, didn't it?
I'm just saying, if it's not yours, you should not count down in your days. Hey, that's been in there for 4 days. It's fair game.
I can't believe you drank that.
Wait. Fudges. Wait, don't say anything because I still have never said who it was. I'm not trying to reveal the name.
Put it this way. I wasn't surprised when I heard the name. Let's move on. We've got a couple of food related
asks. I have one small one too.
Producer, what do you got?
Producer Lindsay and I share an office. And producer Lindsay has left her Starbucks half drunken in the office for multiple days in a row. Is it okay if I throw it away, or is that not
normal
that
no,
I don't
no,
throw
no.
it away?
You report her to HR immediately. That's unacceptable. Look, we're adults. Okay? We're adults. Clean up after yourself. This is not a big ask.
Emily, I
will backstop you. I have your back that if someone is littering your office with old coffee cups, you need to
Here's the thing, Trev, this one's a little different. It's a little different. I'll explain why. They both have desks, offices. They're not sharing it with other people.
But it's a shared space. It's
right,
a shared
but that
space.
Area is kind of like that's her area.
It is also partially Emily's area.
If she left her drink where Emily's sitting right now, that's a different conversation.
Look, she has to walk through the door. If she sees trash on the dead, no.
It's not like there's a spinach feta wrap from Starbucks in there for 3 days.
It was fruit, though. It was fruit.
See?
It wasn't. It was leftover fruit in those drinks. Like anyway.
Speaking
we'll
of food, this is here comes John Day Fullerton. Do you eat all the leftovers in the fridge, no matter how old? Because quote. We don't waste food in the Sliwa house.
Listen, I'm not looking at I have to determine what's going on. I have to, the situation deserves a open the Tupperware. Let's investigate what's going on here. Like, it's not like hey, it's been 2 days. That's it. Everything's got to go. You got to feel it out here. It depends on the item of the food. It depends if it's, if it's a fish, one day and it's like, that's over.
Tops.
You know,
tops. Look, I,
that's
just,
gotta go.
For me, if we don't finish all of the salmon from the night before, you can put it in the fridge. It's going to live in there until you throw it out.
You might be right about that.
I'm not eating that after
chicken,
the moment.
Chicken has a 6 to 8 week period. Okay.
You got a little old steak in there. That can stay. We can throw that back in a pan at some point. Reheat that. That's an option.
It just depends what it is. But I'll be quicker to, can the food be saved, than I'm just going to throw everything out.
All right, here's another one. This is from Disc, Dave in San Clemente. Lady Slee wants you to pick one of the following. Suicide is not an option. Well, that's good to know. Option number one, a co-ed baby shower with a taco guy, or a neighborhood Super Bowl party with spouses and potluck. You got to pick one of those two.
I think I do the Super Bowl because it's the Super Bowl. And then, by the way, if there's no taco guy there, I'll grab some tacos. I'll go buy. I'm bringing tacos to the party.
Taco? Oh, you'll bring your own tacos to the potluck.
Yeah, just bring my own.
That's the right answer.
I'll be sitting with everyone, in front of everyone, just eating my tacos while they're having just the most generic food in the world. I have my salsa spread out.
Like we talked about earlier, your own personal taco guy just follows you everywhere you go. He prepares you individual tacos as you need them. That's the right decision. All right, this is from G Fish. Slee, it's Thursday night. No Lakers. You're relaxing in your chair.
That was last night.
Okay, well, there you go. You're relaxing in your chair with a glass of wine watching the football game. Life is good. This is a long setup. Then Lady Slee walks in and wants to talk about her day. Do you go with, honey, I can't. I'm show prepping right now. It's a good question.
It's not that far off from last night. It's not that far off. And I did do a bourbon.
Nice.
But we went to dinner afterwards, and because we went to dinner, I got to catch up on everything. Now, if it's something important, it's like, all right, I could go away from Aaron Rodgers, and I have no affiliation with these two teams, so I could go away from it for a couple of seconds. If it's not that important, it's like, can we just the game wait here? And she'll probably say yes. Let the game happen.
Look, doing what we do, the response, hey, listen, I'd love to talk about this, but I got paid.
I'm trying to work here. Like, this is ridiculous. Do I come up to you when you're sitting at your desk working? I don't. And it's just so disrespectful that while I have this game on and I have to spend so much time talking about it with Travis tomorrow, and it's like you don't care. It's like the fact that you don't care is what hurts me.
You're not going to believe the experience I had at Starbucks today. This lady cut in front of me, and then, no, hold on, Kyler Murray's driving. This could be the opener of the show tomorrow. I need to talk about this one more.
Baby, I don't know if you noticed, DeAndre Hopkins just checked himself in without the coach letting him come in.
New name here. Always love this. This is from CWM. Boxing match with one of the, quote, fake space guys. Who do you want, Slee? #Ask. So I'm assuming you mean
this easy
Richard
one.
Branson, Musk, and Bezos.
Oh, this is an easy one. Bezos, I just feel like I got a shot against, right? Like, I think Musk, I feel, first of all, Musk is amazing. So he's just ridiculous. Everything he's doing, he's accomplishing. That guy's amazing. We need to protect him at all costs. Bezos, I feel like I get a couple jabs in, you know what I mean? Kind of, you know, tell him about a couple items I've got from Amazon that said they were coming on Thursday. They didn't show up
Whole
till Saturday.
Foods is
like, there's a little more animosity.
One, yes.
A little more animosity. Plus, he didn't go to space. That's the thing I don't like about Bezos.
Well, then I guess he's ineligible. Richard Branson doesn't want any of this. He doesn't want to get in the ring with
you know what Musk. You know what Musk isn't doing? Trying to pretend like he's going to space. He's like, nah, I'm good. I got more important things to worry about here. I'll worry about that later.
Ask Slee is brought to you by Kia of Carson. This summer, find your next car or SUV at Kia of Carson. Hurry on in to Kia of Carson for the best selection off the 405 at the Carson exit. Go to KiaofCarson.com. So did I get the grade right, Al, about B+? Is that about what you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, I'm maybe a little more harsh of a critic. I was going to go B.
You want to go the other way.
I was going to go B. It's only because
Unwritten
you can't just give out.
Good. Leftovers was pretty good.
Those two were pretty good, actually. Those two were pretty good.
See, I got you back in the seminar. Do you want to sign? Would you like to sign for that timeshare? Do I have your full attention? How about we just cut to the chase and you sign right now? All it means is I get access to your check.
It's too hard of a sell, bro.
25 years.
It's too hard of a sell. You're pushing too much.
Oh, yeah, because those are known for their subtleties. They're very low pressure.
Right through it. They're seeing right through it.
All right. Last night's game, the night game where you were picking. was actually pretty important for the Rams last night and what happens for the rest of Week 8. We're all over it next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.